welcome to a season opening edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day, it's not really clear what he's done on this day, because all you find when you search Rasheed Wallace October 21st is him and a bunch of various clips of him on Kevin Garnett's Area 21. It's overrun the search algorithm, Katie, but honestly, not the worst thing to find. I kind of miss Area 21. Did you partake in that show when it was on? It's so bizarre and weird. Kevin Garnett just like being a hype man, walking around a room, pointing at people he's talking to give takes. It's lovely, but it's no longer around with us on the TNT broadcast. Do you long for the days of Area 21 where Rasheed Wallace was a fixture?
No, dude, I think I totally missed this show.
Really?
Sounds like something I'd be interested in, too.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Garnett, usually wearing some sort of elaborate casual wear, starts off the show and he just kind of has a basketball in his hands. He's like, what's up? It's Area 21. We've got Sheed over here. Avery Johnson's here. Kyle Kuzma's here. It's a pretty cool. There's like a dude on a desk just kind of like feeding them stories from across the day. And the one I watched this morning in research for this was during the playoffs, Raptors-Cavs a few years back, when Kendrick Perkins and Drake almost got in a fight on the sidelines at halftime. That was the one I watched, and they had a pretty good chuckle about that. But yeah, I'm surprised you missed this, Katie. This feels like it'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, I know. What happened to me?
I don't know, but you just have to go back and watch old episodes, I suppose. Yeah. Either way, Katie, we have a loaded show today as the season has begun. The fall has really kind of hit its stride. I went apple picking over the weekend, Katie. I came home, made some apple crisp. Oh, what? What's your problem with apple picking?
I don't know. It's just like, of course you would go apple picking.
Yeah, yeah. We collected a giant stash of Empire apples, the best baking apples you can find. Made some delicious apple crisp, a little ice cream on there. I don't know how you could find any sort of flaw or fault in this Sunday activity, Katie. I'm pretty surprised by you.
I mean, I eat apples.
Mm-hmm. You're a seasonal fruit maven, I would say.
Yeah, apples are all right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. what'd you get up to, Katie, this week? I'm assuming you didn't go apple picking at any point.
No, man. Sorry. What did I do? The Raptors had a really fun party I went to on Monday night. What else did I do? Yeah. What day is it? Wednesday.
Yeah. Yesterday. Who knows? Yeah. It's the day the Raptors play a basketball game. That's all I know.
Yeah. Today they play a basketball game. The most important thing, my birthday's on Friday. So I'm not like a birthday week person. Sometimes I think that's an ostentatious thing to do. But, you know, this year I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. So Monday, I just kind of like, I went and got my nails done. I strolled home, and there's like a new Spanish grocery store that opened that had like really good empanadas. Got some of that on the way home. A new Polish bakery opened, also passed that on the way home. Really like treated up, which was very nice. Yeah, I've just been like, you know what I've been trying to do also? Chill where I can. Chill in these little pockets of like 1 hour periods, because one, I have so much stuff that I'm working on. Two, the season is just starting. And already from watching those games last night, I was like, yeah, this is my sleep schedule. Goodbye. So, and we have the game tonight. We have the Raptors home opener tonight. It's Wednesday. You're hearing this Thursday. So we'll have like been and gone and it'll have been great. We'll have cried. But yeah, I'm trying to take my rest where I can.
Yeah, that's an important thing to do. And what better way to do it than on your birthday week, Katie? I guess that's going to be a theme of today's episode, because by the time the next episode airs, both of us will have had our birthdays. We straddle the line between Libra and Scorpio here on this podcast. You, of course, a late Libra on the 22nd. I am an early Scorpio on the 26th. So I I know you have like your misgivings about Scorpios, Katie. you know, that's kind of, you know, persona non grata to you, all Scorpios. I'm glad that you've allowed me into your world and let me do this podcast with you, despite my unfortunate astrological signage. what's your... are you like thrown off? Are you like dismayed at the fact that I'm a Scorpio, that you've associated with a type like me?
I mean, no, my mom's a Scorpio, but okay. I have to say my mom's like the only sensible, grounded, very warm, non-confrontational, non-scheming Scorpio I've ever met. So, yeah.
Wow. So I'm confrontational and scheming. All right.
You get worked up. See, it's happening right now. So you have that about you as a Scorpio. Haley O'Shaughnessy, yeah. I also found out is a Scorpio recently, and that kind of threw me for a loop. So maybe I have a problem mostly with male Scorpio. So yeah, you should feel like a special anomaly.
Well, I'm very, very glad and happy about that. I see, I have the issue with Libras because I find Libras are very high and mighty because of their sort of their next two Scorpios. It's and Scorpio's true. Kind of the whipping sign of all of the signs. Everyone's like, oh, Scorpio, those people are freaks. And Libras, I feel like, lead the charge in the anti-Scorpio rhetoric. And so your people got to tone your shit down, Katie.
We're fine.
Well, that will not be the last of the birthday talk on today's show. As mentioned, we both will have our birthdays by the time the next episode airs. So in the interest of birthday weeks and celebrating for longer than just the day we were born, we're going to bring in some birthday-themed stuff into the segment we're trying out this week as we bring back a wonderful segment that everybody knows and loves that's musical in nature. That's all the teas you get. We're also, Katie, in the thing we're talking about this week, going to talk about just sort of as the league gets into its new season. We saw the first games last night. As again, we record this on Wednesday. We saw the Warriors beat the Lakers. We saw the Bucks beat the Nets. You know, with the new season, I've been kind of thinking and feeling like the league is maybe at a point where there's a little bit of, it's a little bit stale. Maybe it could use a bit of a refresh in terms of rule changes, in terms of just sort of the way the league is constructed, the way the league calendar is constructed. And you are not so much in line with my sort of wanting for there to be some winds of change to sweep the NBA. So we're going to talk about that, talk about the pros and cons and sort of the idea of, is this the perfect time to maybe refresh some things as the league kind of gets back into quote unquote normal for the first time in a few years? Or is the return to quote unquote normal for the first time in a few years reason enough to keep things the same and just kind of enjoy what we've enjoyed for a long time and let normalcy kind of seep back into our lives? We're going to get into all of that on today's show. Before we do that, just a reminder, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/abasketball with two H's. It's $4 US, $5.50 Canadian to subscribe to the show. And you support us. You help us keep the show going. You become a part of our Discord chat, which we are trying to be more active in this season after not being terribly active all last year. But that's going to change this year. We promise. Lots of King Cake Baby content coming to you in the Discord. If that's not a selling point, I don't know what is. We also will do mailbag episodes that you get for free. You get ad-free episodes of the main podcast as well. So if you want to support us, we would very much appreciate it. Go to patreon.com/abasketball with two H's and throw us a few shekels over there. So without further ado, Katie, let's get into the conversation as my voice for some reason has stopped working. What's going on? Hi, we're going to talk about change in the NBA and whether it should be coming. We'll take a quick break as I drink some hot tea and I'll be back. We'll be back in just 1 second to get things rolling. All right, Katie, we are here to the thing we're talking about this week. And with the season beginning, as I mentioned off the top, I've been feeling a little bit stale in my NBA consumption for a bunch of different reasons. I think, you know, you can make an argument that, like, stylistically, the league is maybe in a not so interesting place with, you know, pace, space, small ball, stretchy fives kind of being the wave of the future with just a few notable exceptions to the rule. I think just the sort of general, you know, cadence of the league year and the, you know, the playoff race and all this stuff, it kind of just all feels very rote to me. There's already sort of the talk too about, you know, some teams and, oh, the regular season doesn't matter for this team. It's all about the playoffs. And I just feel like, can we inject some joy into the regular season in any way? And maybe there are some changes that could help to do that. Katie, I guess before we get into some specifics, sort of ideas that I have, if you will, to how to move the league forward, where are you at in terms of your sort of league consumption? Are you enjoying just kind of being back to something resembling normal? Are you also itching for any sort of change? What's your sort of view on the league as things get rolling here for 2021-22?
Yeah, there's been so much instability the past two seasons. It's just like we've literally not seen one uninterrupted season to a season in quote its normal timing or like within its normal dates. That's caused a lot of disruption for players, like health, lives, livelihoods, which I have obviously not liked and we've talked about. So yeah, I'm stoked that it's, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm stoked that we've got a quote normal or like the most normal start we've had in two seasons. Yeah. A lot of people seem healthy, seem in good spirits. That's kind of what I'm looking for, you know, some stability.
Yeah, and I get that for sure. I guess maybe this kind of goes back to the introduction of the play-in in the last couple seasons and how much I personally enjoyed. I think it's like a really cool little wrinkle the league has thrown in to sort of add some intrigue to those 7 and 8 seeds, which typically are not all that intriguing. And it's kind of just like a race to get pounded in the first round in more cases than not. And I like that there's that sort of new sort of thing to keep an eye on. It keeps teams more engaged later into the season. And I wonder if maybe that's kind of the first step almost in a bit of a refresh to just the typical sort of beats of a season. And maybe you can just stop at the plane and that's enough. And that's like a good enough change to kind of satiate, you know, me and others who maybe feel like there's been some stasis with the league for too long. But I also kind of think about, you know, anytime the league has implemented a rule, more often than not, it kind of really does help refresh things and move things along and improve the product overall. And it feels like it's been a long time since we've had much in the way of change. And I think the way the play-in kind of added so much intrigue almost makes me want to see more just because I love the play-in so much. What else could they add to the mix to make things super intriguing? There's lots of different ways to kind of go with this, Katie. I guess we can kind of start with some of the big grand pictures changes that the league has kind of bandied about. It's not really, you know, anything imminent just yet, but Adam Silver did speak this week about, you know, the in-season tournament and, you know, players getting accustomed to that and kind of having some buy-in for it. Expansion was kind of talked about this week as well. I am always pro-expansion. I think new jerseys and teams and logos and players are cool to think about. I think the league is in a really good spot to expand as well, just talent-wise, maybe not financially, but we can get to that. You know, in terms of like broad sweeping changes, like the in-season tournament, Katie, let's maybe start there. Like that is seemingly on its way, not this season, but next. It's going to be an extra sort of competition, an extra bit of hardware for teams to win. I don't think we've talked about it on this show before. I have long been like back to when I had my own little personal WordPress blog that nobody read and is now scrubbed from the internet. I was a long time advocate for an in-season tournament, kind of akin to what you see in soccer with the FA Cup and the other cups that go on within each season. It's just like an extra carrot to dangle for teams to try for. You know, I think that's been met with a lot of skepticism because of the way like American sports fans think, I think. But I'm curious with you, like, does that in-season tournament intrigue you at all? Is that something you'd like to see? Or are you kind of on the side of, like, that's too European to ever really make its way and have any headway here?
It has nothing to do with Western or being European. I feel like it is ghoulish to me, especially when you're looking at the way that the pace has ratcheted up in the NBA over the past, like, 10 years. And there's really no answer for that. And, like, the pace of play, the prevalence of soft tissue injuries and like multiple season wrecking injuries for players. But the fact that that hasn't necessarily been addressed in terms of like, what is the fix for this? Is there a fix for this? So I think there's an overarching problem that would have to be addressed to me before you add something in, like, I don't want to call it like some like extra measure of frivolity. But at this point, I think like, both the play-in, which I am actually for, but the play-in in its introduction in a really messed up season. It was just so skeptical of that because it was kind of like, how do we distract people and keep them interested and not have them be like, should we be doing this season? And I think that was the way. And then like that, I think having an in-season tournament, before you address these larger overarching problems, again, it has nothing to do with, is the league ready to adopt practices from other pro leagues, which I think they should, because for example, I think they should, I don't think the first round of the playoffs should go as long as they do, make them three games.
Sure.
Change that. Because also you look at the number of games that guys play now, and I don't think an in-season tournament is very fair because it's actually just going to exacerbate the current problem of injuries.
Yeah, that is not an unfair evaluation of it all. And I think if there is, you know, I agree. The best argument against it is the health of players thing. It's not the, oh, no one's going to care about this extra tournament thing. Because I think that's bullshit. I think competitive nature will kick in. And I think, you know, we've seen in Europe, for example, in like the FA Cup or the League Cup, the teams that win it really, really care. And even like the big clubs, while they might not try super hard and not play their best players early on, by the end, they're playing their best guys. They're trying to win that trophy. And I think that's a cool extra little carrot to dangle for, you know, young teams, teams that are on the rise, maybe don't have championship aspirations, but maybe they can go on a heater and win themselves a trophy in the tournament. And, you know, maybe it feels contrived. Maybe it feels like something that's going to take a long, long time for people to really care about. Maybe they never will. But I think just like basic competitive nature and just kind of wanting to see more players in the league on a significant stage, that's why I think I'm pro midseason tournament. And I think in my sort of dream situation, the tournament takes place and cuts down on the regular season to kind of augment the extra games and the extra sort of, you know, the stakes of those games. So if you trim it down to like a 70 game regular season, you work in the tournament. This will probably never happen though, because you mentioned the ghoulishness, not just related to injuries, but they're not going to, like, these owners are not going to take less home dates for their teams. And so maybe that's a naive sort of way for me to dream how it would all work. The injury stuff certainly makes a lot of sense, and I totally get that. And that honestly kind of spins me into another thing, which is rule changes, Katie. And, you know, some ways, like you said, that the league can maybe adjust to the way the league has so drastically changed in the last 10 years. It seems weird to me that this version of basketball was being played, you know, for example, on the exact same sized court that it's always been played on. And the 3-point line in the corners, you know, despite it kind of being a cheat code of a shot that people have figured out, oh, this is a closer three, thus we should take more of these. That has been sort of solved to the point that I can't believe the 3-point line is still the same and they haven't moved it out or sort of evened it out around the entire arc. It's just, so let's go there. Rule changes and just kind of altering the way in which the game is played. I think for me, the biggest thing I would like to see of any rule change, there's, you know, the 4-point line people throw around, there's all these different things. I think 100% the thing you got to do is just make the floor bigger. Like, add 5 feet of space on either side, account for how freaking insanely large and athletic and fast these guys are, and maybe that does help with just sort of changing the dimensions of the floor a bit to sort of adjust strategy, maybe makes it a little bit easier, you know, or not maybe easier, but just sort of different for coaches to game plan. And there's sort of new things and space to keep in mind when you're, you know, planning at your tactics. And then there's also just like the extra space should help hopefully prevent some injury. Are you with that idea, Katie? Just like expanding things, you know, size-wise on the floor to account for the fact that these dudes are very much not the same dudes who were playing in the 1980s and were groundbound and not terribly athletic compared to what it is today?
You're pro expansion and everything, huh?
Apparently, yes.
No, man, I don't think they should make the floor bigger. I think what they should do, because guys are getting hurt, flinging themselves past the baseline and like going sliding there, is to move people back a little bit. But no, I don't really think you need to make the floor any bigger. I don't like that about soccer. This is one thing that to me, 2 euro, Sean, too big of a space. I don't want that.
Well, I'm not like saying extend the length of the court necessarily. I just think like a little bit of added width and space would, it's not just an injury thing. I think it would like actually help kind of you know, change stylistically the way we've seen the league sort of evolve here. Are you with me at least on this, Katie, that across the board, with the exception of a few teams, everyone kind of plays the same and it's kind of a drag to watch all these teams play the same? And like, I think there's a reason why people gravitate to teams like the Raptors this season, or, you know, the Nuggets, for example, with Nikola Jokic and sort of his, you know, sort of revolutionary way of playing center. They play differently than other teams do, and I think that makes them appealing. I don't think there's enough of that in the league, and I kind of miss stylistic differences. I miss the whole idea of styles make fights, and I think just changing the dimensions of the floor is such a small thing you could do to just sort of alter the geometry just a touch and maybe, you know, introduce some new tactics and strategy that could help hopefully kind of diversify the way teams play. Do you not agree that there's like stylistic sort of sameness across the board right now?
No, and the way that you're describing, yes, there is sameness, but the what you're describing is like a weird trick. So like there's there's always sameness. Like teams emulate other teams, and it's usually like fashion. The teams that are doing it well are leading, and the other ones end up being several seasons behind in the way that they look. So I don't think that's going to get changed because you widen the court a little bit. I agree with you that that is what makes, you know, and more like anomaly or teams appear more interesting. It doesn't necessarily make them more competitive. And in a league where the money is still going toward who wins, I don't really think, I mean, you'd need owners and GMs, like everyone from the top down to buy into that, right? But
sure.
I don't know that they would necessarily buy into be like, should we make it more interesting or should we stay as profitable as possible? Like that's obviously the larger thing that's dictating it. But I also think that a little bit, I think there's an opportunity for change just based on what we've seen teams have success with in the past few seasons, even pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. which is kind of leaning into teams that are leaning into developmental practices and kind of building over time. Because I think for a lot of small and mid-market teams, it's just a more sustainable way to build a team if you know you can't attract a free agent every single season.
Sure.
Or even like every other season or ever. So I think that by nature of that way that you're going to grow a team is going to stylistically change because you only can play to within the ability and the skill set and the physical skill set too of your team. But that's a slower change. And I think what it sounds like you want are kind of more immediate changes, which to me, I think mostly feel gimmicky. So that's why I don't like them.
Well, I guess my counterpoint to that, Katie, would be some of the like most important changes in league history have kind of felt gimmicky, like the 3-point line, for example. Like, I can't imagine that was embraced with like, oh, yes, this is the thing we must do across the board. I would imagine there was some like, oh, extra points, this feels gimmicky type of responses to that. And it seems to have worked okay. I mean, maybe it's the catalyst for the exact problem I'm thinking of right now, where everything's the same because threes are worth more than twos. So maybe I'm actually anti 3-point line now that I'm talking myself through it. But, you know, I don't think you can argue that putting the 3-point line in didn't, you know, positively change the league overall in terms of the way it's aesthetically played and, you know, did diversify strategy at the time. And maybe it's kind of gotten to a point where the current, you know, construction of the floor and the shape of the floor has kind of been solved by teams. And so, you know, that's my counterpoint is the 3-point line felt gimmicky, Katie. Is there not a chance that you throw in another sort of quote unquote gimmicky change and ultimately it breeds a lot of really positive changes in the way the game's played down the line?
I mean, until it doesn't, because there will always be a homogenization, right? Like it's always going to move towards sameness mm-hmm. because sameness in sports is usually what works, especially when most pro sports are predicated on routine mm-hmm. and like nailing a routine, whether that's lifestyle or a player's training regime, their like day-to-day routine, a team's day-to-day routine, like during the regular season. All of this stuff is kind of anchored in sameness. So yeah. I think it doesn't, what works for the fans in this case would not really work for the players. I think some players would definitely thrive from the differentiation of, I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I take that back. They would adapt because they're pro athletes yeah. and they're very good at doing that. But again, I think I always get, and I'm not trying to like devalue the points that you're making to this, but this to me
it's totally fine.
Always reminds me of when they put that blue ring around the puck in hockey because Americans couldn't see it. And to me, I'm just like, are we like, you know, are we so like lazy or like how far do you cater basically to the viewership and to the audience, you know, and even to the fans to a degree? You kind of want them best case scenario to meet you in the middle of like what this product is and like what the game is. And you want them to buy it enough that they understand it and they're like invested in, they understand the rules and they're invested in the game to a farther degree than just like, is this exciting and kind of like comfortable for me to watch? Because then there's a lot of other sports you could watch, I'm sure, if that is what you wanted. So that's kind of like, that's my knee jerk. I always just think of that stupid. I mean, it was helpful to me. I can't see the puck, but I don't watch hockey and I don't complain about it.
So I feel compelled to say that none of these desires, I think, are any sort of like, oh, the league needs to like refresh themselves in the interest of like ratings or anything like that. I do not want to come off like I'm sounding like a certain Substack writing freak of a writer who just really, really loves ratings and doing racism subtly. But I do think, you know, it's just like a personal thing with me where I feel like the game has gotten too sort of rote and predictable. And I kind of know the beats of a game going in. And that's not really what I'd like to watch sports for. Like, I like the unpredictability of it all. And I like the sort of the clashing sort of styles and tensions and things like that. And maybe I'm just sort of like, we haven't gotten into the season yet. Maybe these changes will happen sort of organically. And this happens, right? Like, over the course of time, leagues and teams adjust, right? Like, I think it's still a matter of kind of, you know, okay, now we've got this pace and space sort of way of playing and everyone's doing the same thing and offense is out of control. And maybe it just is a matter of time of waiting for teams to adjust defensively and changing the way they defend these new teams and these new types of offenses. And maybe there will be a sort of course correction back. Like, I don't think we'll see the same insane offensive explosion we saw last year, for example, where it was like the most hilarious offensive season of all time. I think like three most potent offenses of all time were from last season. I don't think we'll see that again, mostly because I think people just like are going to be more conditioned and stuff like that with it being a normal-ish season. But I think it might just be a personal gripe, Katie. It really might be. It might be that the game is just fine. And also, I love basketball regardless, and I'm going to watch it no matter what. I'm just always kind of thinking about, okay, what thing could be implemented here to maybe sort of inject a little freshness to this whole thing? And, you know, it might just be that time is what will do that. And I should also note, like, I still think the league is in a weird sort of recovery phase from the Warriors era, because the Warriors were this, like, literally perfect basketball team that everybody else had to try to emulate in order to have any chance. You saw the Rockets do it, and you saw basically everyone was like, all right, well, we got to play switchable defense. We got to play small ball, and we have to do it. And then no one was good as the Warriors at it, so they all lost to them. But I do think, like, the 5 years of the Warriors being the Warriors probably, like, shook up the way strategy and tactics around the league were sort of deployed. And we might still be in the phase where we're coming out of it. And maybe we are coming out of it now. And we are seeing sort of new things arise, like the Nuggets, for example, or sort of the return of big men being more central to the game after kind of being played off the floor for 5 years, whenever they came across Golden State. You know, I might be sort of still in my brain dealing with the post-Warriors sort of, you know, sameness in my brain. So maybe that's part of it. Like, do you think, is that maybe a thing that if I hit something there with the Warriors, maybe kind of having broken my brain and other people's brains for the last 5 years, like brains throughout the league, and maybe now we're just kind of emerging from that?
I don't feel that way. No, but
no,
okay. You can.
Yeah.
Because I think this happened before the Warriors is what I think people want, especially within the NBA, is to be able to kind of pin things on a trend or like a dynasty or like a team moving in a trend toward a dynasty. And I think that's extremely rare. You know, I think actually it was kind of an anomaly not the later way the Warriors won, like the first way, you know, because they did develop and like build up that team. Then they just kind of toss that out the window, and now they are almost coming full circle to where they need to develop again. But when you look at like the odds of a team going back to back, for example, like it's incredibly rare. That's what I don't necessarily see in what you're saying. There's too much sameness because it's kind of different every season for the most part. You still have your like contenders in your top spots kind of in each conference. Though we have also seen that change in the past 2 years. But what I'm most curious about this season, when we get some stability, is to see whether that was an anomaly, right? Like if you, these like smaller, quote, like smaller market teams, you know, like the Hawks, like the Suns, like if we're going to see them back in the kind of contention spaces that they were last season, or if they were able to thrive, because of all this kind of other chaotic stuff going on around them, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that might be an interesting look at what you're saying, whether what you're saying has actually come to bear, or like, you know, the outside kind of forces pushing down on the league are more impactful than we really give it credit for. Like basketball does exist in this insular bubble, I think we feel like, but maybe it doesn't. So I don't know. That's, I think, why I want... It's almost like an experiment when you want like a, you need like controlled conditions to do the experiment. Yeah. And I feel like we haven't had controlled conditions in so long, and it's yielded all these like really interesting and super compelling and pretty exciting results aside from all the really shitty stuff.
Yeah.
But like the gameplay stuff, I think has been, it sparked a bit of a shakeup there. So I'm curious to see how much of that carries over into this season when we are going to have a more controlled environment. But no, I don't necessarily give any team credit for like, I mean, maybe sure for, it's broken certain fan bases' brains. I think like Lakers fans' brains are a little bit, they're not broken, but they're certainly molded to work one certain way. And like, that's how they understand basketball.
They're a special kind of diseased. Yeah.
I didn't say that, but that's just like,
I did.
That's the way that they watch, because they are there in a market where the Lakers have always been the Lakers that they know, and they have this huge draw. Even when they were shit for a few seasons, there was still this like hold over hope, you know, that they get really good and huge, which they have. So yeah, I don't want to give too much credit that like teams are these tectonic plate shifting, I don't know, that they have that real capability.
Yep, that makes sense. So I think actually you, with that last point, kind of compelled me to maybe kick these desired changes in my brain down the road for 1 year just to kind of see, okay, now that we've got this new season, you know, do things kind of diversify on their own? Do things kind of work themselves off out in the wash just because it's not under all those sort of strange pressures like you were talking about? I still think the floor should be bigger. I still want a midseason tournament, but I'm okay if they wait some time for it. Did you have any other sort of thoughts on this stuff, Katie? Any particular elements, any changes that you would like to see? I've been going off on changes I want to see. Is there anything that you want to see? Are you just like, the NBA, it rocks, let's just roll with what we know?
No, I think that the first games in the playoffs shouldn't be very long. Just have them three games or something. Two out of three.
Yep.
That feels correct to me. Maybe that's it, honestly. I don't really care. Like, I don't want a 4-point line. I don't think the three-point line, I don't think it's boring to watch players shoot threes successfully. I love it. I think it's like still something that I'm like, that's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, it always feels like a small miracle to me. Like, even a boring game of basketball, I like to watch it. Whether that's because you can kind of get rooted in like the rhythm of it, or it just can be like a pleasure to watch. Yeah, there's certainly like tedious games, but I don't need everything to be like, that's not necessarily why I'm watching all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, oh, I need to be transported to like the fast lane. There's other ways that I can do that for myself. So yeah, I guess it just depends what you want to get out of it and why you're coming to basketball. But No, man, I'm just like, give me this, give me the regular season. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I love the regular season. It's wonderful. I love the long haul of it. I think the sort of, you know, the move towards thinking only the playoffs matter is stupid and totally misses the point of the 6-month grind that is the regular season and the stories that unfold over the course of it. And that I am extremely excited for. And I am very happy basketball is back. I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon and someone who's like, I don't like 3-pointers or anything like that, because that's not the case whatsoever. I love basketball, and I'm just constantly looking for subtle ways to perhaps improve or make it slightly more entertaining personally for me. So I understand there's my own personal baggage tied up in all this as well. Either way, Katie, this has been a pretty good chat, I think. And I think we should then move our attention now towards birthdays. We're gonna do a segment we're trying out this week. We're gonna do name that tune / team with birthday themed songs. Let's get to it in just a second. Welcome back. We are here in the segment we're trying out this week here on Basketball. Thank you to Madonna featuring M.I.A. for our intro music here. The B-Day song by Madonna, a song that I didn't know existed until yesterday, and Katie didn't know existed until yesterday until I sent it to her via text message. What are your thoughts on the B-Day song by Madonna, Katie, featuring M.I.A.?
It's pretty bad, man.
For those who haven't heard the whole thing, the lyrics you heard there basically just looped for 4 minutes on that song. There's not much else in terms of substance. But that is a banger to lead us into this segment here, Katie. We are playing Name That Tune / Team, our most clunkily named regular segment we're trying out this week. Basically, the conceit of it is, if you are not familiar, if you're a first-time listener to the podcast, you're new to it, you haven't heard it before, basically, we pick 3 songs from a certain category of songs to play for the other person. And then we have to name a team that is most associated with the song based on the lyrics, the tone, all of that good stuff. Katie and I have each assembled 3 birthday-themed songs, which is a pretty rich category, honestly, probably all tied to the fact that the original Happy Birthday song is all cut up in a whole bunch of royalties, and you can't really play it without paying money, apparently. So people have come up with their alternatives, and they've done their own birthday songs, all of them just longer versions of saying what you'd say in the Happy Birthday song, I think. But either way, we've got them for you here. 3 songs each. Katie, I will send you, I'll play my first song for you first, or I'll have Dylan play my first song for you first, and you can tell me which team is most closely associated. It could be any team. It can be a past team, a classic from the past, or it can be a current day NBA team. Either way, producer Dylan, take it away with my first song. Go shorty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday. You can find me in the club. 50 Cent.
Classic.
In
I'd
the
say
club.
It's the only birthday song that's outside of the classic birthday song that's held up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's a good song. Katie, which team is In the Club by 50 Cent?
The Knicks, man.
The Knicks? Why is this?
Because 50's from New York. Like, that's the only... It's too strong an affiliation. It's the Knicks.
That's fair. I was hoping you were going to say this year's Los Angeles Lakers, because it was a real banger in 2005, much like all of the players on this Lakers roster were.
I mean, I was going to say the Mellow Knicks, actually.
Okay.
Like, that was what I was, if I was going to throw it back to a different era.
Yep.
So we could meet there, maybe.
Yeah.
In a compromise.
Yeah. Rasheed Wallace is on that team. So I think that is always going to be acceptable here on this podcast. Yeah. All right. So that's my first song. Katie, you got, let's play your first one. And I'm sure you would agree, what could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
You can't see me right now, but I am dancing my ass off in my chair.
It's a really good song. I was playing it for Dylan's birthday like a week ago for him, and I was like, oh man, this song rips.
Who's
like,
the artist, by the way? I don't really know the artist. I don't know the artist.
It's Stevie Wonder, man.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just so shocked you couldn't recognize those pipes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm a fool, I suppose. Let me look at the lyrics here. You don't know. You know, it doesn't make much sense. There ought to be a law against anyone who takes offense at a day in your celebration, because we all know in our minds that there ought to be a time that we can set aside to just show how much we love you. And I'm sure you would agree, what could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be? This is lovely. What a song. I am very embarrassed I didn't know it was Stevie Wonder off the top of the dome. Either way, I think this one, Katie, is this year's Miami Heat. Because I am thrilled to watch the day that that team comes to be for the first time. I really, you know, to the line couldn't fit more perfectly. I think that perfectly sums up all of their acquisitions this offseason, from Kyle Lowry to PJ Tucker. I think it's a very sort of happy South Florida sounding like beat and rhythm to the song as well. So I'm going to go, this year's Miami Heat are Happy Birthday by Stevie Wonder.
That checks out.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't embarrass myself with that pick. Producer Dylan, my second song, please tee it up for Katie.
Hear him singing happy birthday. Better think about the wish I make. This year gone by been a piece of cake.
Sad.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Buffett and Martina McBride with A Trip Around the Sun is the name of the song. Here you going with Jimmy Buffett. Who's the most Jimmy Buffett-ass team?
That's weird. It's like the one Jimmy Buffett song that's not like about cheeseburgers and like blowing out your flip-flops or whatever he likes to sing about. It's like the one melancholy Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett-ass team. Let's think. Dude, it might be because it's a Jimmy Buffett-ass team, and I think there's a certain level of melancholy to this team to match the song. I think it's the Kings.
Oh, I like it. We never pick the Kings for these things. It's nice that they got the call out, even if it is under sad circumstances.
We always forget about them.
Yeah. that's great. I don't have a counter to it, really. I think it's great.
Excellent.
Yeah, wonderful choice. You have a second song for me, Katie.
I do. Here it is. I've come to wish you an unhappy birthday, cause you're evil and you lie, and if you should die, I may feel slightly sad, but I won't cry.
I almost picked
honestly,
this song.
Morrissey is.
Yeah.
You almost picked
I almost
it?
Picked this song for you. Yeah. Yeah. It was my second, seventh option. I gave Dylan six options in case we had overlap. It was my next one on the list that I cut off.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, what a freaky loser.
Yes.
But yeah.
That is the Smiths' unhappy birthday. Just read the lyrics here. I've come to wish you an unhappy birthday. I've come to wish you an unhappy birthday because you're evil and you lie. And if you should die, I may feel slightly sad, but I won't cry. Loved and lost, and some may say, when usually it's nothing, surely you're happy. It should be this way. I say, no, I'm going to kill my dog. And may the line sag heavy and deep tonight. This is a fucked up birthday song, Katie. I hope this is not the song you send to me on my actual birthday.
Wait and
it's
see.
It's got real, this is what Ben Simmons would do for send to any one of his teammates on the Sixers on their birthdays, I think, right now. Like, that's a not good situation. And feels like just, you know, an email from Ben Simmons to Joel Embiid. No subject, no words, just the link to this song might be all Joel Embiid gets on his birthday from Ben Simmons. Wow. Wow. Morrissey, what the fuck?
That feels correct.
Yeah, it's maybe too on the nose for the moment, but also if it's on the nose, it's on the nose for a reason, I think. Katie, I have one last song for you, and boy, is it bad. Producer Dylan, take it away. Are you familiar with this one, Katie?
They sound familiar, but I've never heard this song before.
This is the song Like It's Her Birthday by Good Charlotte. This is late era Good Charlotte, like 2010 Good Charlotte, which is nowhere you want to be.
Okay.
Basically, the song is about Joel Madden
being messy.
Yeah, thinks that his girl, well, the first verse that you didn't hear there is, here, I'll read the lyrics to you. Tonight, I kind of get the feeling my girl is up to something, something that is no good. She said she only had a meeting, but she's dressed for something, something that is no good. Now I'm not saying that she's cheating, but seeing is believing. Can't believe what I'm seeing when I stepped inside. She's so wasted, acting crazy, make a scene like it's her birthday. So Joel Madden, deeply insecure, thinks his girlfriend is cheating on him. And apparently every time it's her birthday, she does this in this relationship, is the conceit of the song. It's real bad. It's real good Charlotte-ass lyricism here. What song, or team, sorry, is best summed up by Like It's Her Birthday by Good Charlotte?
Whew, yeah, so like kind of a messy team. I'm not in the context of the song. I'm calling Joel Madden messy, not the GF.
Yeah. Yeah, the girlfriend seems like she's just having a fun time.
Yeah, maybe some infighting, but like people are too toxic to just come out and talk about their problems. You already said the Sixers, so I'm not trying to do that.
Every song about discord within the ranks is about the Sixers, apparently. But no, what do you got?
I mean, yeah. Like, this has to bear out in terms of actually how they are, because they're less one man who really liked to instigate drama this season. But I'm going to go with the Clippers because I think, well, Ballmer is a just like prototypic, always messy character. You lost Pat Bev, but I don't understand the chemistry of this team. I also don't think they communicate. Like, I don't even mean on the floor. I mean, I don't think they speak to one another.
Yeah.
So that checks out for me there. I was going to say the Lakers, but... And like that might be closer because they're closer to age of the Madden brothers now, most of the players on that team, but they don't strike me as this sloppy.
Yeah. I could really, really see like Steve Ballmer at a house party doing the thing that Joel Madden describes his girlfriend as doing, acting crazy, drinking champagne, going insane.
Falling all over people.
It's my birthday, everybody!
Exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah. God, what a freak. Anyway, Katie, you have one song left for me.
Mm-hmm. I forget what it is. Here we go.
All right, let's fire it up. He want that.
I only like this song because of that part. And only Rihanna could just say cake over and over and over. And you're still like, I'll listen to this.
Yep, it's good shit.
That's Cake by Rihanna.
Yes. Damn. Okay, I'm just going to read the lyrics here, see what I can do. It's a pretty horny song. Nothing wrong with that.
Except for the chorus,
where it's just the word cake. Baked goods are being talked about. Yeah. All right, let me pull up the standings. I gotta see this stuff. I gotta like do some visual association with some teams here. Okay, like sort of very outward, very. I mean, horny. I think is the way to describe it in a lot of ways.
Outward.
I think.
Yeah. Very polite.
Damn, this is a really, really hard one, Katie. I need to reflect on the lyrics a little bit more. Oh, baby, I like it. You so excited. Don't try to hide it. I'm going to make you my bitch. Cake, 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 cake. I think maybe this song is, I'm going to say is it the Timberwolves? I feel like a young team is like what this song is going to kind of encompass. This doesn't feel like an old person song. So the Timberwolves and Grizzlies are the two teams that kind of come to mind. Young energy. D'Angelo Russell, we know, likes butts. Did you have like an inkling coming into this one, Katie, or did you, or are you just totally leaning on me for this one? Because I'm having a hard time.
No, I wanted to trip you up.
Yeah.
But I think the Wolves feel right to me more than the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think you're right. Patrick Beverley's on that team now. I could see him saying the words, I know you want to bite this, it's so enticing, nothing else like this, I'm going to make you my bitch. I feel like he said that to somebody before.
Probably.
Yeah. I'll say the Minnesota Timberwolves are birthday cake by Rihanna. And that brings to an end this round of Name That Tune / Team. Katie, let's move into our posters of the week, shall we? The way we wrap up every episode of this glorious podcast with the best of NBA social media from the last 7 days. I tend to skew Raptors on this because I just follow more Raptors than I do any other basketball players. So I'll try to diversify down the line. But the Raptors did like a very seductive photo shoot this week. All black and white. Everyone looking, just their damn best and sexiest. And Gary Trent Jr. has a photo where he's kissing a basketball as sensually as I've ever seen anyone be kissed ever. And so Gary Trent Jr. kissing the basketball is my pick. He also gets an honorable mention because after an episode of Locked On Raptors that actually went up on Wednesday, featuring Alan Shane Lewis and Anne Pornell from the Great Canadian Baking Show, we got into the discussion of the photo with Anne, and as on Anne's request, I photoshopped her face onto the basketball, and so that was a fun social thing this week as well. Either way, Gary Trent Jr. kissing a basketball is my poster of the week. Katie, who do you got?
I have a rare, I don't think I've ever picked him before. Then I realized he's not such like a prolific poster these days. But it's Blake Griffin, who was walking around Brooklyn and took a picture over his shoulder of a woman posing, like an influencer posing, one foot on a fire hydrant, one foot on like a little traffic pole, like very precariously. And then a photographer's taking her picture. And he wrote, "Models on fire hydrants, the city is healing itself, praying hands." But then like a little, he's very like stoic. And then at the very end of the video, he kind of breaks into this little smile. He's cute. He knew it was a good joke.
I mean, he's a funny man. He's a stand-up comic. He's got the chops, Katie. Love Blake.
I mean, I wouldn't say that he's like a success. Like, I mean, that's a different show. We can... I'm just happy he's happy, Sean.
I think at some point now we have to get one of our comedian friends, perhaps Sean Keane or someone on, to break down a Blake Griffin hour or something like that. Maybe a 10 minutes, but either way. Blake Griffin, he's in a good spot. Very happy place. We'd like to see it. With that, Katie, that brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate everyone being back. Basketball is going. We're going to continue on the lovely conversation as the season progresses here. No Ben Simmons talk, though. We promise you that, unless we're comparing Ben Simmons and the Sixers to songs about birthdays. Either way, you can follow us on Twitter at @abasketball. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/abasketball with two H's. Katie, do you have anything you would like to promote?
Yeah, Basketball Feelings went optionally paid yesterday. So
yeah,
you can pay $7 a month or $70 annually for Basketball Feelings, the newsletter, the once a week newsletter will stay free. My voice is cracking like Sean's was.
It's an epidemic.
There's a podcast now. And the podcast, which will feature basketball media, I think some players sometimes, basketball people, which I haven't figured out if it's going to be weekly, maybe bi-weekly. Anyway, you kind of, that will be for paid subscribers only. And there's going to be a lot of other bonus content that will be on the newsletter just for paid subscribers. So if you are a Basketball Feeling subscriber and just want to stay free, do it. But if you feel like opting into the paid option, which I'm very uncomfortable promoting, but I'm doing my best to try and do, I would love that. And I would be so, so appreciative. And you can go to basketballfeelings.com.
I will gladly tell people to give all of their money to you. I am already a paid subscriber. Basketball Feelings is the freaking best. I listened to the podcast as well, Katie. It was very, very good. So everyone should go and subscribe there. Support Katie and all of the wonderful Basketball Feelings musings over there. You can find me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe to Locked On Raptors, both on the podcast platforms you use or on YouTube. It's very much appreciated when you go to the YouTube page as well, because that helps us kind of grow the audience in a pretty significant way. And you'll get to interact with commenters, like someone who left a comment today on my episode with Alan and Ann and said, "What's up with the 1970s AM radio DJ voice of the host? LOL, let's go Raptors." So that's what you get on the Locked On Raptors YouTube page. Also, I got some blogs at raptorshq.com. Wrote about OG yesterday. I'll have a recap of the game tonight. That will already be up by the time you hear this against the Wizards. And yeah, that's going to be it. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Basketball. We will talk to you next week. And I just did the ending in the wrong order of operations, and I feel weird. but we'll just let it go now.
Bye-bye.
The podcast is over. Bye.